Barbara Trainer, author of Second Career Volunteer, A Passionate, Pennywise Approach to Retirement. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for agreeing to come in today and talk with me about what you do. I've got a few questions for you. I wanted to know, what made you decide to become a volunteer?
Well, Susan, it's nice to speak with you today. Thank you for asking me. I decided to volunteer because in the first place I thought I could never retire. I had been a single mother and an administrative assistant for a number of years, which doesn't leave you many resources, financial or otherwise, and I hadn't been able to travel. So I thought, what could I do if I were to retire? And I received an email from some friends who have an RV, and they were roaming around Alaska, and they said, oh, we found a college that accepts volunteers. They supplement their staff, exchanging room and board for workplace skills. All I would have to do is get there. I thought, well, I can afford that.
You can get yourself to Alaska.
Yes.
And so you did, and that was the first place you went to? And
yes,
you tried it out sort of as an experiment, let's see how this works? And
yeah, I retired in July. I got in the car in August and drove to Alaska.
Wow. And it worked. How long did you stay?
Well, because of the distance traveled, I went for a year. And I had a wonderful experience. Didn't have to cook.
Nice.
roamed around Alaska, saw so many different things, and worked.
And, yeah, did something useful. Mm-hmm. You were able to put your skills to use in a new environment. They needed you. They wanted what you did.
Administrative assistant to the CFO.
And so then when you were done with Alaska, you decided you wanted to look into this a little bit more?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Yes. And while I was in Alaska, some friends had contacted me who live in Okeechobee, Florida. They knew of a wildlife refuge whose owner needed someone to help write a grant to get a DVD for an educational program. She had panthers and a butterfly garden. And I helped write a grant and helped do teacher and children's worksheets for school. And I was there for 4 months in Florida, staying with my friends. And we shared the cooking, but it was nominal fee.
Sure.
But then I returned to my home in Albany, ready for my next adventure.
And so then a framework here starts to emerge out of leaving your job, and then trying to figure out what was next, and you sort of experimented, and then you have a new kind of lifestyle starting to emerge out of this.
Exactly.
And then your book comes when? How long have you been volunteering, and your book comes at what point?
Well, I found my volunteer retirement lifestyle, and so many people asked questions while I was traveling, or when I came back, they'd ask me, where were you? And that would evolve into what were you doing, and so forth, that I decided to write a book.
Oh, okay. All right. And how long did it take you to put this together?
About a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. I decided to put interviews in the middle between each chapter because I thought it would be helpful for volunteers to read what other volunteers are doing, actually doing.
Right. So you describe your experiences at each of the places you go.
My experiences in the book, and then the interviews are with other volunteers that I met. Couples, singles, just the pleasure of what they were doing.
Right. So you get a larger view in the book of the other types of opportunities there are for people who volunteer.
Oh, yes, because while I was doing basically office-type work, Ken and Sue were doing livestock at Heifer. I mean, I consider that manual labor. They were mucking out stalls, but they enjoyed it. They were educators, and they didn't want to do anything to do with education.
So once you're out there, there's kind of a network of other volunteers that you come in contact with, and it almost seems like, an invisible net out there of people. Once you meet them and see what they're doing, you stay in touch with them, you check in, and do they keep in touch with you about where they're moving on to?
Oh, definitely, yes. And the word invisible is an excellent word, because that's why I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. It is word of mouth. And I thought, well, with the depleted 401ks and the baby boomers coming up, I thought they're going to be looking for options. We have now, with the lifespan being increased, I mean, we're going to be around for many years. And I call them mystery years, because you don't want to sit on the front porch.
No. No.
You have skills, you have all kind of creative talents that organizations are looking for.
Now, I noticed, too, in the back of the book, you have a list of resources. You compiled that, and these are volunteer organizations that are national and international.
Yes, I did. Okay. I did that so that people would have a beginning, where to go to start to look. You can simply type in volunteer in the state of Washington with free room and board, and you may find something.
Right.
There are also websites there for U.S. and international. I focus on the U.S. because I'm on a budget, mm-hmm. and I can afford to travel the U.S. There are fees associated with some of the international. But it's interesting, at Heifer International, they're in Arkansas, and a lot of people have heard of them.
What are they?
They are a community that's been around since the 40s, helping communities in the U.S. and around the world become self-sustaining through gifts of livestock or trees or bees. Their headquarters are in Little Rock, and mm-hmm. the 200-acre learning center is 30 miles north in Perryville. The interesting thing is that when I was there, I ran into a multi-generational community. Students were there, just graduated from college, interrupting college, along with 80-year-olds and couples and singles. But the students, in this recession, they couldn't find a job. So they decided to volunteer for a year. Uh-huh. It looks good on their resume. They're not paying room and board, and they're sending out resumes while they're working.
And they're doing something. They're not just sitting at home looking on the internet for work.
They're not home with mom and dad. There are also Peace Corps volunteers there in Vista, but the students were there sending out resumes. And then I ran into, when I was in Albuquerque, volunteering at a school there, I did a presentation at a library, and this man came up and said, you know, I'm going to buy your book because I'm investing in myself. I've been unemployed for a year and a half, and this might work for me. So there are...
It seems like a very logical, obvious thing to do, and it sounds like, you know, you've had some success selling your book, you've done some talks, you've been on radio, and people want to know, and they want to know more. And where are you off to next?
Well, I am now formulating a plan for... I usually wait, and then in January, I'm thinking of going to Missouri. There's a child's ecumenical center there, and I've just started investigating that. Or I could always go back to Heifer. I really haven't decided yet.
But you have options, and that's one of the things that I think also people are looking for as they try and figure out what to do next.
So. Yes, I can always check some of my sites in the back of the book.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate the information, and good luck in your travels.
Thank you, Susan.